These days, you can't avoid them. Doomsday scenarios. They permeate every area of contemporary culture, from economics and ecology to technology and theology. Barry Vacker teaches media and cultural studies at Temple University, and he's the author of a book called The End of the World Again: Why the Apocalypse Meme Replicates in Media, Science, and Culture. Vacker talks with Steve Paulson.
Why are you so interested in our obsession with apocalyptic thinking?
That's a really great question, and one I wrestled with in writing this book. And I think it actually goes way back to my childhood. I grew up in the suburbs of Texas, and I had my own little portable television. And we had some stations that would show these odd, quirky, apocalyptic films. Failsafe, Dr. Strangelove, to the more B-level movies like Them with the giant ants.
I tell you, gentlemen, science has agreed that unless something is done and done quickly, man as the dominant species of life on Earth would be extinct within a year.
And I never really could explain my fascination with these films because I never thought ants were going to come get us or that all these scenarios were going to unfold. But at some point, I realized that they were actually really raising questions about human existence and about how we understand what it might be like if we were all gone. What would it really mean if we were to disappear, if we were to obliterate ourselves, or if some species was to take over? And so I think at some deep level, they're challenging us to think about the meaning of human existence.
We're born in that swirling inferno of radioactive dust, where things so horrible, so terrifying, so hideous, there is no word to describe them.
We may be witnesses to a biblical prophecy come true. And there shall be destruction and darkness come upon creation, and the beast shall reign over the earth.
So I think at some deep level, they're challenging us to think about the meaning of human existence.
Well, and you talk about what you call the apocalyptic meme, and we should define our terms for a moment here. What do you mean by the apocalyptic meme? What's a meme?
The meme is a term coined by Richard Dawkins in his book, The Selfish Gene, and what he meant by the term meme is that ideas evolve very much like genes. And so they copy, they replicate, they mutate, and so on. And those memes, like genes, those memes that confer survival advantages will be those that continue to exist. And so a meme, in essence, is really any idea, belief, or behavior that can be copied and replicated and passed along. From the simplest thing is fashion and tattoos and art, to science, to philosophy, to more complex things like worldviews, ideologies, economic systems. Pretty much everything humans do can be understood in terms of a meme, something that's been copied and replicated and passed along.
And then you say there are sometimes collections of memes, related memes, that are clustered together, what you call meta-memes.
Yeah, and again, I'm getting that term from Susan Blackmore, who's done a lot of work extending the ideas of Dawkins and others on memes. But a meta-meme is a collection of memes that are all woven in together. So, for example, let's take the meme of capitalism. Well, that has lots of meanings. It has a lot of other lesser memes: corporations, mass production, maybe exploitation, free market, free enterprise, profit, consumer society. It's got a lot of other memes woven into it. So within these larger narratives, there are lots of lesser memes all woven in together.
So you are saying that there is an apocalyptic meme out there.
There's many of them. They're all over the place.
Okay. Well, tell me, what form do these apocalyptic memes take?
Well, this came off the whole Mayan apocalyptic hysteria. And I think what's interesting in our society is that the Mayan apocalypse, even though 27% of Americans believed that it was likely to happen.
You're saying 27% of Americans thought the world was going to end like the Mayan prophecy?
Yes, according to a survey by National Geographic, yes.
Really?
Yes, 27% thought it was likely to happen. The number in China was 20%. So there are a lot of beliefs out there of various apocalyptic scenarios. The Mayan one was easy to discredit, but I think that kind of worked as a cover story because let's face it, the war on terror is apocalyptic. I mean, let's look at Afghanistan. What has happened to Afghanistan after the Soviet Union invaded in 1979 and 80, and that lasted a decade, and then with the Americans and since 9/11. So that's apocalyptic. Iraq is apocalyptic. I think you could say that war itself is apocalyptic, and humans have been waging war for a long, long time. In fact, in the new millennium, since the year 2000, humans have spent over $15 trillion on war and military. That's $2,000 a person waging warfare.
So this obsession with the coming end of the world, I mean, it helps to explain a lot of the books and movies and TV shows that trade on this idea. And, you know, dystopianism obviously fits into this as well. The sci-fi fantasy stuff, zombies, vampires, it's all sort of part of the same thing. But then I guess it raises the question, well, are all those movies and books and TV shows creating this apocalyptic fervor, or are they reflecting it?
I think it's probably both, because growing up in the Cold War, which ended in 1990 and 91, there was the fear of the nuclear apocalypse. That is not on the radar near as much, although it might be because there's still over 22,000 nuclear warheads in the world. But we now have the ecological apocalypse, whether that's measured as climate change, rising ocean levels, global warming, ecological destruction. There's also the idea of a resource apocalypse, that we're going to exhaust the Earth's resources. Then there's a variety of technological apocalypses. In other words, maybe the nuclear power plants will melt down, or maybe we're going to run out of energy. And there's also the idea of the digital apocalypse, that we will create these machines that will be so powerful and so small that they will go in and alter human consciousness and create a new human. So the real human will be gone and be replaced by some kind of digitalized human. That's sort of the Ray Kurzweil scenario.
Right.
And you mentioned the zombie apocalypse. And I would say there's two others. The cosmic apocalypse, the idea that Earth could get obliterated by the cosmos, be it a meteor, asteroid, black hole, supernova. The science shows on television do a lot to further that idea that the universe could wipe us out. There's a show called The Universe that shows up on the History Channel, and they have numerous scenarios where these scientists sort of gleefully explaining the ways the Earth could meet its demise.
This is how a scientist can get on television, you know, predict the end of the Earth.
That's right, exactly. In fact, these guys, you would think they were like Roland Emmerich announcing the new blockbuster, you know?
There's kind of a paradox here. I mean, going back to this idea of the meme, and again, I mean, if we draw the analogy to evolution, I mean, for creatures to exist into the next generation, they have to be successful. They have to reproduce, which raises the question of why are these doom and gloom scenarios so popular? You know, they're kind of frightening. Why do people get off on them?
Well, it's interesting because as a meme, to survive, they have to have some kind of advantage. So in my book, I list seven advantages or seven benefits. All of these apocalypse scenarios offer what-if scenarios. What if this happened? What if we had an ice age? What if the temperature of the Earth heated up? What if extraterrestrials came to us and our planet and decided to wipe us out? What if we had a nuclear meltdown, as in the China syndrome? And so they have all these what-if scenarios. Embedded in that is the possibility that something could end. Is it going to be the end of industrial civilization, the end of humanity, the end of capitalism, whatever it might be? But pregnant in an end is also a beginning. Oh, wow, if we could just get past this wave of destruction, we'll have a new chance for a beginning. So the scenarios always have embedded, sometimes explicitly, sometimes implicitly, an end and a beginning. And spinning off those two things, because everybody kind of wants to know how things are going to end, right? We want to know, hey, this is going to end, and hey, there's a new possibility, right? We always have those in our lives because we were born and we know we're going to die. So ends and beginnings are important.
You're really talking about rebirth then, the fantasy that the old, the corrupt, the decaying will be wiped clean and we'll have a new, fresh, wonderful start.
Right. It's just what Madison Avenue promises with so many products, right? You'll get a new beginning, a new chance to begin again, and the old will be swept away. One of the ends that's terrifying is this sort of fear of the future, the idea that somehow the future is messed up. Somehow it's going to get worse, that the good old days are better than the days to come, that tomorrow is going to be terrifying and we got to go back to yesterday. And that fear of the future undergirds a lot of these sort of conservative or neoconservative apocalyptic scenarios, cultural apocalypses, whether it's immigration or gay rights, all the things that are perceived as largely negative by conservatives or fundamentalists or evangelicals or whatever. So all that sort of fear of the future, or that there's just simply no future. And I think that was part of the fear of the Cold War, is that somehow we knew that we could immediately get wiped out and there might not be a long-term future. And so there have been any number of films that have dealt with that, from Dr. Strangelove to Failsafe. I would say even a film like The Matrix has a deep fear of the future. But another benefit is the idea that somehow out of this there'll be a transformation of human consciousness, that somehow we'll come out a better species if we just survive it. And this is a very optimistic view. Once we survive our mistakes, once we conquer climate change, we'll be transformed. Or maybe by transforming consciousness, we'll conquer the climate problems. And I think that's sort of what's in Al Gore's message, is that somehow we can transform human consciousness and society to cooperate on a global scale to fend off severe climate change. So that's what makes his view so optimistic as opposed to the many much more pessimistic views of climate change.
Barry Vacker is the author of The End of the World Again, Why the Apocalypse Meme Replicates in Media, Science, and Culture. He spoke with Steve Paulson. So what do you think about Vacker's ideas about the apocalypse meme? You can share your thoughts with us through Facebook or Twitter, or send us an email through our website, ttbook.org.